we're well and truly into the new year, many of us are surely still recovering from a few too many horrific hangovers. Maybe some of you are still managing to uphold a feeble resolution to drink moderately this year, but it's early days for 2019, and save for deaths and taxes, the occasional hangover is one of the few certainties of adult life. We've all got our own ways of dealing with the after effects of a big night out, but will we ever find the one true cure? Here to answer our questions is Professor Merlin Thomas, an expert in preventative medicine at Monash University. Professor Thomas, welcome to Drive.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, first and foremost, will we ever be blessed with the elusive hangover cure?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. It's not quite death and taxes, because it's actually only 3 out of every 4 people who, when drinking to the point they're intoxicated, will actually have some hangover the next morning.
Oh.
I mean, one out of four actually get out of it without much of a scrape at all.
Well,
it's still not clear exactly why they have those particular benefits. It's not because they drink in a different way. It's not because they eat food or have water or a particular ethnicity. There's no particular reason for it. And as a result, there is no simple cure for hangovers.
They just have some sort of fantastic luck.
Luck has something to do with it. I mean, you can make your hangovers a hell of a lot worse. I mean, there's no question that if you drink to a great excess, the more alcohol you drink, the more likely you are to have a hangover. Equally, if you drink and you have a very short sleep, so you drink to the small hours of the morning and then you have to get up in the early hours of the morning to do something, you're much more likely to get a hangover. Because sleep, in fact, if you're going to say, well, there's one cure for the hangover, it's to roll over and go back to sleep. Because sleep seems to not only reduce the severity of the headache and the mood and the moodiness and all sorts of other things, it actually does improve a lot of other aspects. And it is much safer that we stay in bed than necessarily go to work feeling a hangover.
Now, considering the advances of modern science, why isn't there more time and money invested into research into this area?
It's a self-limiting illness, kind of like the common cold. There was great illness interest in it for some period of time. But one of the things about hangovers is that they go away. And for unlike many other illnesses in which there's a lot of research which don't go away by themselves, hangovers do go away with time. Most people, within a few hours, when they're back in their rhythms of their days, their hangovers will lift and they'll get on with the rest of their life. It's not life-threatening. It is certainly very significant. And, you know, the really important thing about hangovers is really not just its effect on, you know, your headaches and your nausea and your moodiness, but actually your effects on your performance. And there's some studies that show that driving with a hangover makes you just as impaired as driving with a blood alcohol level of 0.08. So maybe, you know, a lot of those Monday morning crashes are actually hangovers. There's no alcohol in your system. It's not alcohol that's causing it directly, but indirectly, your concentration is as shot as if you were drunk.
But I know some money is put into this kind of stuff. I remember last year or the year before, there are a lot of stories about new centres where if you have a hangover, you can go and I think they put you on an IV drip or something and try and cure your hangover. How much of that kind of stuff is around at the moment?
There are people who, because there's so many people drinking and there's a lot of people developing hangovers as a result, obviously there's a great market for someone saying, hey, I've got a great hangover cure. And whether it's an IV drip centre or a new vitamin combination or indeed a new recipe on the internet that you're supposed to take the following morning that contains miraculous ingredients, it's a great market, but in fact none of them work. There's nothing better than the very simple solutions that we have available, which is more sleep, avoiding bright light, like wearing sunglasses. And in fact, caffeine works particularly well, not only for the headache, but also for the attention. So, you know, coffee, dark glasses and going back to sleep, actually, there seems to be nothing better than that. And when you look at the randomized controlled trials, and science has tried this out, of looking at hangovers and comparing different therapies and different chemicals and different things, none of them have outperformed placebo. In other words, you know, so long as you do nothing, then you're not going to be any better than doing nothing. So unfortunately, there is no solution apart from, as you suggested at the beginning, drinking a little bit less during the night and getting a bit more sleep the day after.
Wow, so I was going to ask you about some of the classic cures, but did you say that coffee does actually work? Caffeine does work?
Well, a lot of people already use caffeine for improving their attention. And of course, that can be used in improving your attention when you've got a hangover, and that's always helpful. Caffeine also improves the headache. And some people actually with migraines take caffeine in combination with paracetamol, because that actually reduces the number of paracetamol pills that you'd need to take, or the dose that you'd need to take to get rid of your headache. So there is a pain-killing effect of coffee in relatively small amounts, which is quite effective in some people. And really, in terms of the cures of the standard headaches that we get, whether it's the standard tension headaches or your migraine or your classic hangover headaches, a little bit of paracetamol and coffee work particularly well in combination to reduce the severity and length of your headache.
What about the classic greasy food and Powerade?
Well, it is true that some people can become a little bit dehydrated with alcohol, and that can make them feel unwell. That's not what a hangover is, because if you said, well, you know, if it's all about dehydration, then it would be easy to fix with water. It's not. And in fact, by the time you wake up the next morning, you know, you're usually pretty well back to volume. The other thing, of course, is that the kind of alcohol you would drink is important, because, of course, beer contains much more water and you drink much more of it than you do necessarily of spirits or of wine for that sake. But all of them cause about the same number of hangovers. So it's not really the dehydration. So alternate drinking with juice or the Powerade beforehand, whatever, really makes no difference to the headache, how the stomach feels, or anything else. The only thing about it is that some of these drinks taste really nice, and when you're feeling lousy, a little positive, nice tasting thing can sometimes improve your mood just enough for yourself to feel healthy. And if you feel healthy, you are healthy. Most of it's in your mind.
Now, you've clearly done plenty of research in this area, and I want to ask you, what do you do when you have a hangover?
Well, I try not to get one, obviously, the first instance. I've found that that moderation is always the best thing. But, you know, I get headaches particularly from drinking red wine, but it's not a hangover. Certain kinds of red wines from certain places in the world have more sulfites in them than others. And so I find that certain red wines give me headaches, and other red wines, and never white wines, are free of headaches. So I have to be choosy in the alcohol that I drink. The other important feature is that I find the best solution is to drink alcohol that not only tastes good, but is a little bit more expensive. And the reason for that is twofold. One is that it's entirely rewarding and very satisfying. And the second thing is it's too damn expensive to drink lots of it. And so it limits me and I get all the rewards. And so it's bonus all the way through. So I think that's the easiest thing to do.
So the magician is not revealing his tricks.
No. There is one trick, however. I do find that drinking large amounts of beer obviously sends you to the toilet very often because of its large amount of water as well as significant amount of alcohol. Now, you can actually stop the or reduce the amount of water loss with alcohol relatively simply by using a compound found in licorice. And I found this in a beer festival in Gothenburg once, that I went there, and all these Swedes were drinking beer and having this orange licorice. I thought, this is a bit weird, you know, why would you do that? Then I saw the lines for the toilets, and then I realized, because it actually retains a lot of fluid. Now, if you take licorice every single day, it retains fluid to the point that you can actually get high blood pressure. But in the setting of, for example, a plane journey across the Pacific where your drinks card is coming around, or a beer festival where you're drinking beer and you don't really feel like getting dry, you'll still get your hangover. But to avoid the dehydrating effects of and also the prolonged peeing effects of alcohol, A little bit of licorice works a trick. There's the magic for you.
Wow. Well, there you go. You heard it here first. I think the takeaway besides the licorice is to drink in moderation, but I guess people will have to try and deal with that themselves. Professor Thomas, thank you so much for joining us here on Drive.
Thanks for having me on your show. Take care out there.